Good morning again, everybody. It's good to be here. How about we say welcome home to each other, all right? Welcome home. So good to see so many of you, especially my bride, Kellyanne Chandler Brown. You look so... A lot of people have been asking, how's Kelly doing? She's doing great, okay? But she chooses the air conditioning service instead of the one outside at 9. And I've been at both, and let me tell you, you appreciate air conditioning, right? And also, not only do we have a great 9 a.m. service out in the parking lot, you know, this morning, but also our in-town ministry is having an outside service at Grant Park, you know, today. So, amen. It's good to see the building filling up, good to be able to be spending time together, and to be able, as the Bible says, to give honor to whom honor is due. That's clearly what we do in the scriptures, and so I hope you've been encouraged, and also that you'll be, as the Bible says, be spurred on to love and good, you know, and good deeds. Okay, we are in a series on practicing the way. Okay, let's see if we, okay. The theme of this entire thing is the way. Well, what kind of way? It's the way of Jesus, all right? And so it's to spend time with Jesus, to become more like Jesus, and to do the things that Jesus did by practicing the way. Now, one of the things we're grateful for also is live stream apparently is working today. So great to see all you guys out in TV land, all right? Or as you watch this later on in, you know, in the week. We had some lightning issues. Last weekend. We have cobbled together, though, and it's important that you note this. We have put together video and slides and the audio from Jordan's sermon last week, and it really is an important one because this is a three-part series. Part one last week on hospitality, and our curriculum committee has kind of come up with this clever name, Eating and Drinking. And you'll really get this if you can go back and listen to the sermon from last week, see the scriptures. I'll highlight a couple of them, you know, up here, and to be able to kind of like do a reboot, okay, as we're heading into the fall, where we can recommit ourselves to this age-old, such an important aspect of Christianity, hospitality with one another. I actually listened to it again. I heard it twice last week, listened to it again this week, and we talked about it in our small group. How about you? We talked about how can we as a small group offer more hospitality to those in the church and outside, you know, of the church. The Son of Man came. I'm just reviewing a couple of the slides from Jordan's lesson last week. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. We know that. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. We know that if we studied and spent any time in our Bibles. But also the Bible says the Son of Man, Jesus said, he came eating and drinking. And people actually commented on him and even criticized him. Hey, Jesus, you and your disciples seem like you spend a lot of time eating and drinking with people, and particularly those outside of our church, you know, kind of hierarchy, you know, there. And then we went over this list of all of these times in the Bible where it seems like so many of Jesus's teaching moments and these key moments in his ministry took place around a meal. And so that's what we were talking about. And we had this definition of hospitality, expressing the welcome of God in tangible acts of service. Last week, Jordan focused more on reaching out in hospitality to the world around us, to the people around us, for us to be known for our hospitality. This week, we're going to be talking about practicing hospitality in the family of God. And so you can see this passage where three different renderings of Romans chapter 12, 13, share, always be eager, contribute to the needs of the saints. And then in this great passage in 1 Peter 4, you know, 8, it's so important. Above all else, do what, church? Love each other deeply. If we got to have any reputation as God's people, 100%. It should be that we love each other as Jesus loved us, right? He made that super, super clear. And that part of loving each other means forgiving each other, you know, because love covers a multitude of sins. And then the next thing that he says, offer hospitality to one another. He's talking in the book of Romans to those in the church without any grumbling or complaining. And so we come up with the title this week, Eating and Drinking Part 2, okay? Practicing hospitality in the family of God. Anybody ever notice we call each other brother and sister? And the Bible does that? Okay, look around at each other. Some of you are going to go, I'm not going to look around just because he told me to look around, but that's all right, okay? That's fine. But some of you, look around and look at the people around you. When you look at them biblically, you are seeing your church family. Well, I don't know them that well. They're still your family. Well, I wouldn't have voted him in. You got no vote on that, okay? Just like your own family. And we're brothers and sisters, and it's wonderful because you can't keep everybody's name straight. So, hey, brother, hey, sister, that not only is cool, that's biblical and normative, all right? But what we're looking at is practicing hospitality in the family of God, because actually the Bible's going to tell us, and you want to get your Bible ready and turn over to the book of Galatians, the Bible's going to tell us that we have a unique responsibility to each other for practicing hospitality with each other. I got to work this water bottle because this is two services, and we sang that our God, He is alive, where your veins pop out of your neck when you're a guy. There is a God, you know, but it kind of strips the gears a little bit, all right? And so what we're looking at here, I do, before we go too far, I want to remind you, do not forget to practice hospitality to those who are strangers. Anybody have any other idea why other than the scriptures? That get your attention?
Yes, sir.
If you're an angel here today, would you please identify yourself? Because we clearly would like to be nice to you. And maybe even invite you over for lunch. This is real. It may be some of the people that you have reached out to that are strangers, that are outsiders, have actually been angels. That puts a spin on it. But we're looking at hospitality in the family of God. Let's open up our Bibles, Galatians chapter 6. Okay? Galatians chapter 6. Got to get into the Bible. Here's what I would love for you to do, and every week we do this. We will go over certain passages on a theme or frequently in a particular passage of Scripture. It's up to us to present the best we can, you know, those scriptures in their original context and how they apply to us in our life today, in our church setting today. But what you must do is, like the Bereans, you have to take the Bible and study it for yourself, right? And to develop your own convictions about that, how important this may be or not, and then you have to apply it to your own personal situation, your family, your lifestyle, your life stage, where you're at, okay? So most important will be the scriptures that we look at, that you take note of, and then you'll do like every lesson or podcast you hear. You eat the fish and throw away the bones. All right, because sometimes something may be expressed or whatever that, you know, dig in the scripture, okay? But for me, since I've been here in the church for a good long period of time, and I'm actually like our oldest, you know, evangelist, I think I'm older than the elders now that Harold stepped down, but, you know, whatever. I'm going to make some candid comments, okay? Okay, to apply it to our situation. Okay, nothing offensive, but straightforward. You know that. Okay, what does the Bible say? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. Therefore, as you have an opportunity, or as Mike Elder would go, as you have opportunity. When you got an opportunity, okay? As you have an opportunity, that means whatever is right there in front of you, he says, do good to who? Everybody, but especially to those in the family of God. There is a special commitment in the sense of meeting each other's needs, practicing hospitality to those who are in your spiritual family. You get the connection, right? And you want to love everybody and care about everybody, but don't you have a special, unique commitment to your physical family? Of course you do. And we have the same thing in our spiritual family, and we're trying to get our sea legs back, to use an old expression, you know, about getting back out and among each other and serving each other and helping each other and volunteering in, you know, in that way. So that's all we really need is one verse, and for you to pray about it, meditate it, ask God, how can I implement this in my life, my family, and my small group? However, you know what helps you is you look at the context of a passage, right? If you look down at your Bible, I'm going to give you something really academically, intellectually brilliant. The context of verse 10 is verse 9. Wow, Tom, thank you. That was awesome. And what does verse 9 say? Well, he says, don't let us not become weary in doing good. For the proper time, we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up. Now, I wonder why they would say that. What, do you ever get tired of doing good? Yeah. And in the context of their church community, if you know what was going on in Galatian churches, is that everything was not going perfect. Okay, there was actually some controversy going on because we had people who had become Christians that weren't from the Jewish background. They were called Gentiles back then. And then we had people from a Jewish tradition. And then, furthermore, you had people back in Jerusalem that felt very seriously that in order to be a really a true Christian, you gotta also become a Jew and practice all of the practices. And they called them Judaizers, even to the point where you'd have to go get circumcised as an adult, you know. And this was a controversy. And so in the church, they were kind of feeling different ways toward each other. And all that was the context of that. And if you remember that Paul says early in the book of Galatians, I think it's around chapter 2, that Peter was there with the Gentiles. Do you remember what it said he was doing? Eating and drinking. This is a big deal. We don't get it as much here. Who you sat down to eat and drink with in that society was a big deal. That's why they criticized Jesus. Why is he sitting and having dinner and eating with Gentiles and tax collectors and sinners? And so, but Peter was doing it. He realized we're all equal in Christ and all the preaching, you know, of the word. But then these guys from Jerusalem comes down. And what does Peter start doing, according to Paul? He stops doing what? He stops eating with them. Ooh, he pulled back. Now, these are not my people, really. And Paul, some of the strongest things he ever said to a fellow Christian and leader, that's the context. So in their church, you know, they had some challenges. Anybody been a Christian longer than 10 minutes? Okay. If you're in a church of more than one, you will have challenges. You will have things you like and you don't like. You'll even have people you like and don't like. Okay. But you love everybody. There'll be things that will tweak you. Here, there, or otherwise. That is what it's like in a family of God, particularly if there's any diversity in that, in age, you know, culture, ethnicity, you know, background, all of that kind of stuff. And so in the midst of all of this, Paul says, don't get tired of doing good. Why? Because you can get tired and pull back, particularly if there's something going on that's a challenge. And you can believe it, COVID and pandemic has been a challenge. And other issues within the last couple of years. So that's the context, you know, of this. And I want to go into something else because I really want to talk about this. I'm going to shorten it up. I'd love to talk about, you know, Bob and Harold. So I love you. You're awesome. I just did. when we think about additional elders, though, guess what? One of the chief characteristics is? I gave you a hint. It's in yellow. To be hospitable. And absolutely, you know, Bob and Jackie and Bob and Adrian and Harold and Suzanne and the families have always exhibited that and been a great example. We do church as a team, just like they did in the Bible days in Ephesus. We have elders, we have evangelists, we try to have a church teacher when he's in the country, you know, and we work together, you know, on this. It's a team. We all help each other, okay? That's how we do church, and that's how they did church in, you know, in the scriptures. But it's not just the elders. You remember this guy in the Roman church? He talks about Gaius, who has shown hospitality to the entire church. He sends greetings. And you know what? Mike and Sylvia, I think about you. We just had you up here on the stage. At least I got to say something nice about Sylvia, right, Mike? Okay? You guys are legendary about your hospitality, and they are not alone. There are many among you that are almost legendary how you open up your home. If you got a yard, if you got a, you know, a house. I know some of our families have gotten new houses and with a nice yard and basketball and a pool to baptize and so their middle school and high school kids. It could be a hangout place. And God's blessed them with that kind of ability to be able to do that. And they open it up to serve the church. I don't have one of those things, but I can go to their house, okay? And to be able to do that. But this is the thing. And then it's not just that. Even widows, because back in 1 Timothy, there was the issue there'd be some sisters whose husbands passed away, or maybe they never became a disciple, or maybe they never got married, but they would sometimes support financially some of the widows in the church. Now, they didn't have Social Security back then, and when you were all alone, you were all alone. Remember Ruth and Naomi? You know, we don't have to go back to that book in the Bible. And so they actually, the church would put together from their benevolence fund, they would find some support from a certain kind of widow. And there was specific instruction who would qualify and who wouldn't. But the idea is it's a widow who's well known for their good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints of the Lord's people, helping those into trouble, and devoting herself to all kind of good deeds. Do you get that? That was like so important. Man, I'm telling you, you know, hopefully as we all get older, we get empty nested or whatever it is, that we don't just kind of fold up a tent and not have people in our lives and serve people and help people in every way. But then it's the whole church. He says it's not just the elders and not just these certain widows. It's just not Gaius and some of these other guys. The whole church, practice hospitality to each other. Serve the Lord's people who are in need. And then there's this passage that Jordan also looked at, you know, last week. Oh, this is cool, okay? Meeting. That was from a chapter in a book called The House Church, you know, book by a guy named Wolfgang Winsome. Now, if you ever want to write a book, change your name to Wolfgang. I mean, that immediately makes you sound like you got it together, all right? But he comments, he calls it meeting, because the early Christians, Acts chapter 2, they got together and they shared meals together, right? And they were meeting. Maybe we need to do more meeting, you know, together with each other. I just thought that was interesting, but what's more than interesting that can be compelling and convicting is that in 1 Corinthians 11, when they talked about sharing a communion meal together, there was an issue because some people would just go ahead and bring their feast and start eating because they had a communion feast, you know, and in the Jewish days, they would start by breaking bread at their feast and then they would toast with a glass of wine at the end. Well, we had the people that had a lot of stuff, they brought this great spread out, and then we had the poor brothers and sisters that hardly had anything, you know, there. And so Paul says, when you meet together, wait for each other. We do it as a community. We share it together when we sit down and eat with each other, and we do it. Come on, Tom, you can do this. I know you can. Okay. Yes, I know you can do this. Maybe that way. Dear Lord, please bless this thing. I may cue it from now on. To do it without grumbling. Why would the Bible say that? Apparently you and I need it. Offer hospitality without grumbling. In Luke chapter 5, and I'll just kind of, That means advance it. You know, in Luke chapter 5, Jordan shared this last week. It's the Pharisees, they were grumbling at Jesus' disciples. Depending on your translation, muttering, grumbling, complaining, because they were eating with sinners and, you know, with tax collectors. There is a, you know, there is a very real issue. These were religious people, correct? Yeah. They believed in the Bible, correct? They did go to church, correct? Yeah, they were, they did a lot more grumbling, murmuring, than they did really encouraging and serving, that is for sure. We're gonna get, I wanna give a bottom, I'm gonna preview the bottom line if you're tired and start dozing off, okay? The bottom line on this, when you stop serving the church, you will start becoming a critiquer of the church. Okay, we'll come back to that. I've seen it in every decade I've been a Christian. There's six decades now. They were hitting. We'll come back to that. Grumbling and complaining. My son, Ryan, you're in here somewhere, right, Ryan? Okay, there he is. So Ryan, sorry to embarrass you, but when Ryan was a little, a little boy, particularly a little baby, he had croup. And there were many times I was tempted, sorry, Ryan, to throw you out of the window, okay, when I was walking around the house. It was bad. That's not like Jesus. I didn't do it, but I had the thought, okay? That's just the truth. But there was one salvation for me, and it was the Muppet movie. And so if I stuck in the whatever that thing, 8-track, VCR, whatever it was, and I played the Muppet movie, Ryan would chill. And the Muppet Show became one of his favorites. We would watch it, you know, together. Now, on, you know, one of the characteristic things about the Muppet Show, there were two old guys. One was Waldorf, and one was Statler. They observed all that was going on the stage, but they were critiquers of it. I actually put together, for your enjoyment, a one-minute compilation of some of our grumpy church members, Statler and Waldorf.
That was great! Fantastic!
Yeah, didn't like it.
What would you know, you old fool?
Don't call me an old fool, I'll give you the evil eye.
Oh, I'm scared.
I warned him. Wake me when the show starts.
It's already been on a while.
Wake me when it's over.
That was a great number. I don't care what you say.
I thought it was dumb.
Maybe you're right.
I think that number raises a pertinent question.
What's that?
Why did they do it?
You know, it's too bad Gonzo's leaving the show.
Yeah, I can think of some other people I'd rather see leave the show.
Who?
Me. I now realize television has one major advantage over a live stage show.
Huh? What's that?
A television you can turn off. What do you suppose they call that? A novelty act?
I don't know, but it wasn't too bad.
Well, that's a novelty.
Well, that was different.
I should say so. So many of these songs are long and boring.
Yes, they finally managed one short and boring.
Does that mean they're getting better or worse?
So while I was watching that this week and kind of helped put it together, I was like, I do not want to become that guy. I don't want to become that guy when I'm observing what's going on in the church. But the law of gravity will get you. There is a law of gravity that in many respects, as people get older, they get more grumpy. There's more to be grumpy about, let's face it. You got decades of grumpiness, you know, to look at. All your aches, your ills, your pains, all the ways you've been hurt, offended, whatever. And then you got the church being whatever the church happens to be, you know, that year. And you, it's proverbial about how some people can get grumpier as they get older. But it's not just that. There's a law of gravity. Anybody notice that with your bodies? It will start to sag. all over the place unless you work at it, right? Unless you focus on that. It can be that way in your spirit. It can be that way in your conversations. It can be that way when your outlook in life. And it can be that way in how you interact with brothers and sisters in the church and cause you to not be that, you know, hospitable. There is a law of gravity, because you can see the next generation of Christians in Revelation chapter 2 and 3 that were so on fire, you know, in those early days. They're having to fight off lukewarmness and losing their first love. Because that's where it's going to go if we don't stay on top of it and help each other. Be devoted to fellowship, breaking the bread, the word, and to prayer. This expresses itself in many ways. I heard somebody told me this week that they had heard about somebody in our church who had decided they probably weren't going to come back to church because there were so many sad songs. I don't even want to tell you what I think about that. I really don't. Listen, on one hand, I get it. I'm going to have to make a confession here. I am not a major fan of the praise and worship songs. In other words, all the songs where you're singing to God, and sometimes you sing the last verse over 20 times or 30 times. I know some people, it doesn't connect with me as I do my best, okay? All the songs are great today, by the way. and I'm sure they were great last week. That doesn't mean that that's right or I'm spiritual. I'm just saying I don't connect with them as much. I love those fiery songs that there is a God, and the ones like we sing to each other and we spur each other on to love and good deeds. You know, I love some of those songs where your veins pop out in your neck, you know, like if you're a guy. I like some of the a cappella songs, okay, and the hymns with really deep and spiritual, you know that connects with me. And and some of you are going, oh, hey, Tom, I mean, I grew up with gospel in the church, and we got nothing practically in our church on some good hard line gospel. Or you may go, I love that country kind of stuff, you know, about, and it's like, and you all know what I'm talking about. This is the kind of thing. And then you can really get in a situation, you know, where it's not good for you, where you actually start, you start critiquing. And like somehow the songs are supposed to be for me. The songs are for y'all. And we have a wonderfully diverse church, and with wonderful songs. Our worship team is amazing. Yes. But I'm just trying to pick one that we can somewhat relate to. And that's not the issue. Are the songs that are picked, or who's speaking this, does that float your boat? Are you here to serve? Or to consume? You here to fellowship? Are you here to get something that would just, hey, you got all week to put on whatever you want, podcasts, songs, worship, you got all week to be able to do that. I remember, Kelly, when we were in California, back in the 90s, I wasn't in the ministry there. I was out for about 10 years, and trying to build my spiritual life, focus back on my family. And you remember our midweeks, every single midweek, you know, it was always the same. We would have three out of the same six songs, and you would clap during the whole time. My hands got so tired, you know, of that. And then you'd have a young intern get up and do the same 3 points in every lesson, you know, the same ones. And then I was we were a house church leader, a family group leader, so I got the little family group together, and I was supposed to get everybody's check and ask them good, great, or awesome. Some of you know what that means. Did you have a visitor, whatever? And then if somebody wasn't there, I was supposed to go to their house and get their contribution check. There was more of a military style of leadership there. You can't say it's wrong, as long as it doesn't, you know, I don't think it's wise. That's changed, you know, since then. But you got your family. You decide how you guys do it, okay, there. But it was laboring. It was hard. It was challenging. And I've confessed this before. There were times coming back from a business trip on Wednesday, I worked it out so I landed around 7:30 or 8 instead of 5 or 5:30. Because I could miss church. Is that great? No. Is it real? Of course. Can anybody else? I don't see anybody standing up to throw the first stone at me, of which I'm grateful. But, you know, I walked these aisles yesterday, because I do this on Saturday before I preach, and I prayed for you. You know, I've done in past times praying for God to bless you financially, and particularly you generous ones during the season of giving. You know, I prayed sometimes for your health. I prayed sometimes for your, you know, spiritual maturity. And I prayed this time as I went through the aisles for most of you. I see you here, and I actually think I covered a large majority of your names. I prayed that you and me, we'd be able to offer hospitality and to serve Jesus's church without grumbling. Heartfelt. That's what I prayed. You know, this can express itself in so many different ways, in a host of ways. I don't really like this sermon series. Or I don't like the guy who's speaking this week, or did it last week. You know, I don't like the lighting in a building, or actually, why do we have a building? Why do we buy it? And what do we need a gym for? And why do I need to wear a mask walking 10 feet through the lobby? You know, what's the big deal about bringing a cup of coffee in here, you know, anyway? Why are we talking about social justice this week? Or why are we not talking about social justice this week? Why are we thinking about hiring that guy or that woman instead of somebody that can be in my life stage or in my community? What's up with all this talk about Hope Worldwide or the season of giving or Paris or Africa or paying off the mortgage? And why in the world have we given $500,000 from our season of giving to a camp down the road from the University of Georgia called the Swamp? What is that? We actually had a young Christian had breakfast with him this week that asked us that question with me and his small group leader, because he was trying to get lined up on how to give tithely, give online. And I can't totally explain that, just so you know, that particular nuance where he asked, why did you call it the Swamp? I'll leave that up to some of you guys. But he had a good spirit, and he was giving, but he had a legitimate question on that. Listen, when you have legitimate questions and feedback and things you think could be improved or work on in the church, just let us know. Talk about it. Pray about it. You know, but never stop serving, you know, or giving or praying or being, you know, hospitable, you know, on this. If there's something, somebody or someone in the body of Christ that tweaks you, maybe your thought or your idea or your input wasn't considered and seemed to be not valued, you know, in some way, or there's something that bothers you, you know, don't stop trying to serve. That can cause some people to stop trying to really volunteer or to serve or to get chintzy or stingy about your giving or to be, you know, stop giving altogether instead of praying about it, communicating about it, rolling up your sleeves and getting help. And that may make sense to some people on some level. I'm just not sure how that conversation is going to go 50 years from now when you have it with Jesus, or when you have it with one of the apostles, or one of those men and women who died and, you know, and torn apart, you know, for their testimony for Jesus and for, you know, serving. I say, God bless you, but good luck on that one. I know we all have our bad stretches. I've shared from time to time, even today, some of mine. We have our bad days, we have our bad months, we have our bad stretches, you know, on that. But I do think, and we'll kind of wrap this up, it is really important for everybody, except for that little baby, we're going to give him a pass for a few years. I think it's like very, very important to ask this question. Am I a servant of Jesus' church, or am I a critiquer of Jesus' church? And you might want to ask your family about that. You might want to ask your close friends about it. Most of all, obviously, ask our Heavenly Father about that. You know, if we go to the next slide, I'm just going to use this as the last scripture, I think. Here's what it's all about. What do we preach? Jesus is Lord. And ourselves, what are we? Servants. That is who we are. As we follow the greatest servant of all time. And you know what happens? He ends up making you happy. And meeting your needs. We are servants. That's what we are for Jesus' sake. I'll try to put it in the newsletter, but if I'm not going to take time, but if you had to include something else in the Bible that's not, I might include Teddy Roosevelt, you know, in his quote about not being a critic, you know, but getting in the arena, you can, that's like a cue, you know, to go to the next thing, you know, and just this whole spirit of not being somebody who's just critiquing, but out there getting in there and serving. And if you go to the next slide, you know, we'll be able to see, let's go past that. I love the leaders, but we're not going to talk about them. Let's go past that one. Yep, we're going to die someday. Keep going. That means, okay, no, went too far. Go back. This was Jordan's encouragement to us, takeaways. Hey, real simple, right? Real simple. Just invite a coworker into your home in the next a couple of weeks, or a friend of practice hospitality to those outside, and brainstorm with your small group. That's how we're organized in our church, small groups and communities, and talk about how can we practice hospitality together. And then let's end where we began with the next, with that next slide. Therefore, as you have an opportunity, let's do good to all people, but especially those in the household of God. Amen. We'll pray for communion now, and we'll eat it together. Our Father in heaven, we are just humble servants and saved by your grace, and we are a work in progress. Please, Lord, help us to use these series in the scriptures on practicing the way to be able to be with Jesus, become like Jesus, do what Jesus did. I pray you'll help each person who's listened to this message and may listen to it online to be able to focus on those scriptures, eat the fish, throw away the bones, develop their own convictions, and that we can be a church as we eat together and share communion together and share life together, to offer hospitality to each other without grumbling, all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.